WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Tom Foti in Washington. Hurricane Idalia might be history now for North Florida and parts of its neighboring states, but certainly not forgettable history. Recovery and rebuilding going to take time and help. WFOR-TV's Jacqueline Quinn reports.
In some places, folks are without power, and it may be like that for several more days. To help those displaced, two trucks from Feeding South Florida will be heading up to the second harvest of Big Bend in Tallahassee. The group's president and CEO talked to us about what's inside of them.
So the Aldi's boxes have canned goods as well as some cleaning supplies in them. The Seminole Tribe buckets that you guys see have about 2 weeks' worth of food.
President Biden plans to visit Florida on Saturday. Way north of there, and in fact in much of the country, the big Labor Day getaway is about to get underway.
Beautiful sunshine, pleasant temperatures, gas prices stable, meaning the Jersey Turnpike here in Ridgefield is packed. Here's Eric from Philly, headed north.
Driving to Boston, moving one daughter later today, another daughter later tomorrow, and then...
College things?
They're both grad students.
Okay.
So, yeah, I think they're enjoying themselves.
For many on their way, it looks like a four-day, maybe even five-day weekend.
That is Odyssey New York reporter Glenn Shuck. And about those gas prices, they have been inching down slowly. The AAA's national average for a gallon of regular now $3.83. There's still a lot of legal fallout from the pro-Trump riot of January 6, 2021. Two ex-Proud Boy leaders have just gotten some of the longest prison sentences connected to it, 17 years for one, 15 for another.
Imposing the sentences, federal Judge Timothy Kelly in Washington, D.C. told the court, quote, "That day broke our tradition of peacefully transferring power, which was one of the most precious things we had as Americans."
CBS's Robert Legarry. On new financial disclosure forms, Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas now reports he did take three trips last year aboard a private plane owned by Republican mega donor Harlan Crow. He has had other reported contributions from Crow that went unreported in earlier years. At a Clearwater, Florida high school.
Our school resource officers reported that they had two victims stabbed this morning. In less than 2 minutes, a second report came out that the SROs had the suspect at gunpoint and were taking him into custody.
That suspect, a ninth grader at the school, and that was the Clearwater Police Chief Eric Gandy. Texas about to become the largest population state now with a law blocking gender-affirming care for minors. The Texas Supreme Court allowing that law to take effect Friday. Pope Francis now in Mongolia, home of one of the world's smallest and newest Catholic communities. This is CBS News.
You need to hire fast and hire right? You need Indeed. Their all-in-one hiring platform helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates efficiently. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
The Todd Military Alba Veterans Show.
I see the silhouette of Todd Alba, who still hasn't figured out that maybe a TV person could help, you know, set this whole thing up.
For whatever reason, yeah. StreamYard's video is just deciding that the room is too bright.
When has Todd Alba been accused of being too bright? I mean, really? There. I'm like, where's Aaron with the rim shot?
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
When you want something so badly, what you're able to justify and rationalize and get over. So I would say there's not a non-zero chance.
But what record would she run on? Foxconn?
I mean, what did she run on for governor? Probably the same thing.
I just remember her warning about people will be marrying coffee tables once gay marriage is allowed. So I'd like her to run just so I can ask her how many of those weddings she's been to.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Brock. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. If you care about animals or crops, you probably care how the weather could impact both.
It's summer in Wisconsin, and the success of your efforts often depends on knowing the forecast. Count on your local Civic Media weather team for all the information you need.
Crops' roots are also growing deeper in search for water, which is bad news because when rain finally falls, it will sit shallow and be absorbed in the top layers of the soil.
Your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the app.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day.
Interscholastic Sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
More than 80 million Americans depend on AM radio each month for news, weather, and emergency information. A new bill in Congress would make sure AM radio remains in cars. Because when cell and internet services are down, this free service could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
And apparently, Maggie Dawn, Fig Newton lover of the Maggie Dawn Show.
I was so offended, Jane. You know how much I love and admire you. You're like my freaking radio hero. And then to hear you bash my Newton.
It's still bad.
You want the cakey part cakey. You want the jammy part jammy. That is like bringing me back.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Dominic, I see you. Soon I will hear you. I'm calling this one a 3 for Thursday edition because I intend to offend everybody. Yes. And I bet I can get to at least 3 in the very first segment.
You're actually going to try, Crudy? Man, come on.
It comes quite naturally
to not offend people, Crudy.
I can
try that someday.
Now you're starting to hurt my feelings a little.
Happy Friday Eve to you, Crudy. Nate, working the board, our fair audience. Happy Thursday to you. Thanks for joining us.
Dom, I'd like to think of us as your afternoon delight. You know, Dom, Crute, and you, we're like a thruple.
Just the three of us? We can make it if we try?
Don't make me sing. Could be a karaoke Thursday. Dom, what are we referencing? You know, we've talked about a lot of topics through the course of our many glorious shows on the radio.
Yes, I
don't think we've ever yet broached the topic of the governor of the state of Wisconsin, at least the chief of staff for a governor, dating a subordinate. And that's where the page 6, the headlines of Daniel Bice take us today.
You're almost giddy, Crudy. You know, this relationship you have with Bice, man, sometimes you're so critical and sometimes you're so happy.
Well, it's sort of love hate. Yeah. You know, I like to love them rough sometimes. Dom. Bice writes over at the Journal Sentinel. I'll correct my source. Everybody says it's nobody's business if supervisors in his office date subordinates.
No, Evers, not everyone. Evers says it.
Thank you. Evers. He says it with a little salty tang to it, doesn't he, Dom?
Yeah, you know, that's how Evers talks sometimes.
Dominic, both houses of the state legislature have strict policies prohibiting supervisors from having consensual romantic relationships with subordinates, noting the potential for legal and ethical concerns or sexual harassment claims that could be paid for by the taxpayers. And each of the University of Wisconsin campuses have detailed guidelines governing such situations, as do many corporations around the country, especially since the hashtag MeToo movement brought to light the widespread abuses of power by those in leadership positions. I would think it would be wise to prohibit romantic relationships within the chain of command, says Joshua Goodbaum, a leading employment and labor attorney based in Connecticut, who has sued many employers over failed office romances. Yeah. It's just a recipe for disaster, in my view. But this doesn't seem to be a concern in the highest office in state government. Governor Tony Evers acknowledged that his office doesn't restrict supervisors from engaging in consensual romantic relationship with staffers they oversee. Evers, a second-term Democrat, said he keeps a close eye on what's going on in his office,
great.
Which has some 37 employees.
That's a weird visual.
It's a small group of people, and I monitor their performance on a regular basis. One of my jobs as governor is to monitor the performance of my staff, and I believe they're doing a good job. But a handful of Democrats have spoken to the Journal Sentinel in recent weeks to express their concerns that Maggie Gow, Evers' powerful chief of staff, don't I know it, Dom, is, from all appearances, in a longtime romantic relationship with another senior employee whom she directly supervises. And Evers refused to discuss that particular situation on Tuesday during a Greenwood Junior Senior High School in Clark County stop. I don't think it's anybody's GD business, Evers said. That's the bottom line. Tony gets salty sometimes. I've witnessed this. I think that's part of the reason why Maggie Gow never liked me much. But anyway, sources said the relationship was creating a difficult situation, environment, per Bice, in Evers' office, especially because they believe no one can raise concerns to Gow about her partner. Asked about this, the governor said, "That's not accurate. It's as simple as that. No way. No way indeed, Dom."
Curdy, last week, in response to questions from the Journal Sentinel, Evers' office issued a 1,300-word response when
asked a lot of words.
If Gow was in a romantic or sexual relationship with a particular subordinate on her staff.
Isn't that a yes or no?
The statement skirted the issue of whether the pair of Evers' employees are dating. In 1,300 words, they couldn't do a one-word answer. The two staffers have lived together for at least a couple of years, according to state records. Sources close to the pair say the two are very private individuals, but that their relationship is a poorly kept secret. Our office does not comment on the marital status, religion, ancestry, sexual orientation, etc., of employees because we respect the dignity, humanity, and privacy of each member of our team. And because doing so could, in many circumstances, create legal liability, said the statement from Evers' office.
Isn't that a convenient stance to take in this particular circumstance?
That's a legal liability, potential liability either way, Crudy. Now, the statement went on to say that the subordinate was appointed to a deputy's position at a pay of $62,000 a year in January of 2019, a position that did not report directly to Gow, but was still under her chain of command. The staffer was promoted by Evers to a top-level position that does report to Gow on November 8th of 2020 with an annual salary of $100,006.
Not bad.
The pay was boosted to $112,008 per year in January, an 80% pay increase in 4 years.
Talk about inflation, man. 80%. Raises like that.
Every state employee receives general wage adjustments as part of the state compensation plan, which is approved by Wisconsin state legislature, that statement said. That statement did not make clear what Gow's role was in promoting the staffer, but it did say the staffer had been passed over for a promotion on three occasions and made $10,000 less than the two predecessors when recently promoted to the top-level post. The staffer now makes the same salary as the previous person in the post. The office of the governor is organized, structured, and managed for the purpose and benefit of the governor meeting his needs and achieving his administration priorities, the statement said. Any potential for conflicts, harassment, or legal concerns are evaluated on an individual basis on the facts of any given situation. Further, it is the governor's expectation that staff comply with all applicable Wisconsin statutes, ethics rules, and any other policies applicable to staff in our office. Gow was asked specifically via email if she was in a romantic relationship with the staffer she supervises. She responded, "Per your last request, our office already provided on-the-record responses to your questions. We will continue to refer you to those responses," which, of course, did not answer the question, Crudy.
Well, they answered words. The question, none of your GD business.
Well, that was Evers.
Let me ask you, Dom. what if? Close your eyes for a minute. Just imagine.
No, Kurt, I don't like you that way. I love you, man, but I'm not in love with you.
Not even sexually. We had those nights. Yeah. On the road, Don, we don't talk about it much. Here's what I was going to say. Now, this seems a little frivolous. And this is someone else's personal life, and it's now being discussed on the radio. But this is the highest levels of governance in the state of Wisconsin. It is the governor's chief of staff. And Maggie Gow, let me assure you, she is a powerful woman. She can certainly affect your relationship and your access to, let's say, the governor of the state of Wisconsin. And if it was Scott Walker's chief of staff dating a subordinate, we'd be talking about it.
Well, it's so, nice if Bice wrote an article about it, we'd be talking about it.
Well, if someone brought it to our attention through the, you know, mediums, we'd talk about it.
Consenting adults, man. Eli, let me just throw it out there, man. My own personal thing on this, right? I'm not a fan. I don't believe in necessarily crapping where you eat, and I think these, you know, the liability and the ethics and all the, it just,
you don't fish from the company pier, Don.
Most things, you know, most marriages end in divorce. You know what I mean? So the relationships, even if it's a couple of years, you know, get back to me when it's 20 or 30. You know what I mean?
So how long a relationship do most people have with their employers these days?
Ultimately, that's up to them. So I would not encourage that behavior. But that being said, I did work with my wife. We worked together at a business for many, many years. And we were dating when we first started, I believe. I'm going back a while now. And then so she was my wife at the office. Now, she reported to my brother, not directly to me, but there was that. And I just, you know, so I've been there, done that. Is it impactful? Of course, we ended up getting divorced. Did that impact people in the office? Maybe. You know what I mean? I mean, when you're surrounded by people that are your friends and your family and extended family, whatever, and there's a breakup, that everybody's impacted. You can't deny that in any organization, any friend group, whatever the case is. So that's what doing that brings into any organization. So I'm not a big fan of all that. But if they're two consenting adults that were already dating a couple of years ago,
So if I understand you clearly, Dominic, from your own bad example, you have learned that let everyone try it. Get your own nose bloody, right?
You know, you figure it out yourself, man. You know,
but what from it? What about from the employer's point of view? Shouldn't the employer care? I mean, on some level, it's the employer getting sued, man. Well, Eber should care a little more than he acts.
I mean, I was the employer, man. What do you mean? I was the employer. I was one of the owners of the company, and my wife worked there. So, yeah, I mean, that's always a risk. Whether or not you date someone in the office, yeah, sure, that can be a risk of liability, certainly. That's why a lot of companies, as mentioned in the Bice articles, companies, organizations, universities, you know, legislatures, they kind of frown upon that, because ultimately most of these things don't work out. Sometimes there's love, man. You can find love. Most of the time it doesn't work out.
I found love at work, Tom. I'm married 21 years today to the beautiful Liza. Come back with us. We'll tell you all about it. More Devil's Advocates. We're your afternoon delight.
I'm talking about enjoying a bowl of chicken soup with a Reuben and then making dirty Reuben love. Afternoon delight.
RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. This includes a commitment to news. Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group Wisconsin Breaking News today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Quiet for the overnight with mostly clear skies at 58 degrees. Southeast winds on the light side. Sunshine, upper 80s Friday. This weekend, look for a warm-up. Lower 90s for Saturday. Heading closer to the Labor Day holiday, temperatures into the upper 90s. It's 60 at our studios.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed. The Devil's Advocates, radio for nasty women everywhere.
We are back from the 420 break. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Join us on the lines, 844-967-2789.
You know, this one's going out to my baby, Dom. Brickhouse. 21 years married to my beautiful wife. And I met her at work, man. Through work. You know, I was in the mortgage industry once upon a time, Dom. And you just get invited to a lot of, like, Friday golf outings. They take us golfing. And I was at a golf outing, and she was there as a representative of a title company, and her boss introduces me like he's a pimp. It was so humiliating for my poor wife, now my wife. I didn't know her then. And, you know, so she gets introduced like, oh, this dude's single. Say hi to him.
Wow. Talk and about awkward workplace environments.
The worst part is, you know, it's a golf outing, meaning you get to scramble, play the best ball on each shot. But I was just covered with sand on at least one shot that day. Our best of four shots was in a sand trap. So I'm like gritty and sweaty. I mean, she was a pretty girl, but it wasn't like, oh, I'm so enthralled. I can't imagine I'd ever talk to any other woman ever. It wasn't that sort of love at first sight. You know, it had a pleasant little conversation. And eventually started coming around. I'm like, oh, I like this girl. And I chased her for years down, like 3 years. She blew me off. Not completely. You know, she'd just show a few signs, just enough to let me know she'd care.
So you're saying I got a chance.
That's the way I felt. But, you know, we're not going to get close because, you know, I was done playing the field by then, or I felt like I was. And, you know, I was ready to settle down. Found me a good girl, wanted to get married. So when we did start dating, it was a whirlwind romance. We got engaged within 3 weeks of our first date. And we were
married. How long have you known each other at this point?
But we had known each other for years. I knew in my heart I was in love for like three years, dude.
You were chasing.
Oh, God. She said, stop trying to sell me a used car one time. I was begging you. Oh, please, baby, just date me. Date. Come on. I'm not so bad. She wouldn't have it until she would. And then it was a whirlwind romance. And we were married by the end of summer. We started dating on like the Saturday night before Mother's Day in May. Got engaged in June. On my birthday, June 12th, we were having an engagement party. One of the few parties I've ever thrown that was just a rager that you were not at, Dominic.
Oh, damn it.
And then we were married by August. Supposed to do like a destination wedding. My mother-in-law didn't want to take her then teenage boys out of school. So anyways, I'm like, why do they get to come? Isn't it our destination? But anyways, so we got married.
You married the family, man.
Taste of Madison going on here. But here's the part why I bring up that long story, other than to remember, you know, what a beautiful wife I have and 21 great years. I've given her like 4 good ones and she's given all me 21 right.
Well
good
done,
ones.
Yeah.
But
best years yet to come.
We effectively worked together. We were in the same industry and my wife was converting into real estate appraisals. And she was an apprentice and she went through the training and hours and hours and hours, like 100 hours of supervised work, all kinds of stuff. Well, I was a mortgage lender and I actually eventually ran a big mortgage shop. And I used to tell people, well, I'm sleeping with the appraiser. That's my wife. You know,
I can get you that loan.
I thought, wow, what a service we are providing. We would never charge you for an appraisal. You know, I wouldn't pass on an expense to my client if the value wasn't going to make any sense. You know, if you need $300,000, your house, if it's not worth that, then you're not eligible for the loan. I would back into the number and say, is it worth that? And she would tell me before she would charge my clients, yes or no. Well, that's completely conflicted in today's real estate mortgage lending guidelines. You know, if as a mortgage lender, you're not supposed to speak to your appraiser. I was sleeping with mine. And I bragged about that to my clients, you know, sort of tongue in cheek, like, yeah, I'm sleeping with the appraiser. She's my wife. See what I can do about that value. Didn't affect the value, but it would affect whether or not I could get a straight answer. But from an outsider's perspective, complete conflict of interest. In retrospect, geez, maybe I shouldn't have used her almost exclusively to produce values for my appraisals in that I was married to her and sleeping with her. There might be some conflict there. Now, I always felt like I was successful enough that I wasn't driven purely just to get one more client or whatever the case may be done. And we didn't work for the same company. She was an independent, you know, agent. She had her own licensing. If she didn't do her job right, she could lose it or get sued, like many licensed professionals could. But it still seemed pretty cozy.
But not a direct.
Is it problematic? Is it problematic, though? I mean, in retrospect, I look at it and think, damn, that could be problematic.
In what regard, though?
How did I not get sued over that relationship?
She's not inflating or deflating or doing something
specific. Well, that's what we claim, but from a borrower's perspective, they go belly up, they can't pay their mortgage anymore, they're looking for someone to blame. Well, hell, the mortgage lender's in cahoots with his appraiser. They're sleeping together. I'm just saying, you know, there's some liability created, some exposure.
And that's not even within the same
corporation.
Office. Yeah. Corporation.
We didn't work together.
That's just within an industry.
Correct. I didn't fish off my pier, but it was the pier next door because we had associated businesses. You know, I would do business with her company and we were married. And I thought nothing of it. In fact, I saw it as a feature I offered my clients. I got the best appraiser and the cutest one. Come back with us. We are the Devil's Advocates. Should you date your subordinates? Well, Tony Evers, he's got his opinion. None of your GD business, not when it's his chief of staff. But if it was Scott Walker's chief of staff, would we care? Maybe not Dom, but the rest of us. The rest of us. Dom's down for anything. He's one of those naked people. As long as he's having fun, it's all good. Come back. It's all good. More Devils.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
CBS News Brief. A day and a half after Hurricane Idalia hit northern Florida and hit it hard.
Several counties where the storm made landfall are reporting that
Every single one of the power customers there do not have electricity, and President Biden is expected to visit the hardest hit areas on Saturday.
Correspondent Omar Villafranca. Well, if you're one of the many heading for the airport and have been hearing of labor actions against a couple of major airlines by flight attendants.
Those are people that are picketing on their days off. It is not a work action that is impacting the operations of the airlines.
Correspondent Chris Van Cleve. In Washington, D.C., federal court long January 6th riot prison terms for two prominent members of the Proud Boys.
Joseph Biggs of Florida was sentenced to 17 years behind bars, the second longest sentence so far imposed in the Justice Department investigation into the Capitol breach. Zachary Real, the one-time chairman of the Philadelphia chapter of the Proud Boys, was sentenced to 15 years in prison.
CBS's Robert Legarry. CBS News Brief, I'm Tom Foti.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, can potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
Hey, I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you out, because only you can prevent wildfires.
Hey, Assistant Smokey Bear, call me Papa Bear, because I'm grilling up dinner. Do you get it?
Yes, good job.
So, what should I do with all these coals?
Don't just toss them out. Put them in a metal container, because those embers can start a wildfire.
I understand. The stakes are high.
Ha, 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 ha.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
93.5, The Tap.
The devil's advocate. Freedom.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. I mean, Nate doesn't mess around. He's just all in. He's all in on this topic. 844-967-2789. The question, should you date around the office? Subordinates specifically. And apparently, Tony Evers, chief of staff, at least it's being alleged by Daniel Bice in the page 6 of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, his column, he's saying that Maggie Gow, the very powerful, some say the most powerful woman in the state of Wisconsin, is dating a subordinate. And while Tony, well, Evers does not specifically have a policy against this, says it's none of our GD business, well, it does apparently raise to the issue a problem when anonymous Democrats are off telling Daniel Bice, hey, they got a problem in the office because we can't complain about Maggie Gow's alleged lover, let's just call this person, unnamed in this column.
Yeah, specifically, sources said the relationship was creating a difficult environment in Evers' office, especially because they believe no one can raise concerns to Gow about her partner. Asked about this, the governor said that's not accurate. It's simple as that. No way. And he said, Evers, he keeps a very close eye on the 37 staff members at the Capitol.
It's a lot of eyes.
A lot of eyes. A little bit more here. 844-967-2789. Vanessa Bones, a professor of organizational behavior at Cornell University, has written that a growing number of institutions have clamped down on office romances between supervisors and subordinates, especially in the wake of the Me Too movement. Overall, nearly 80% of human resources executives said in 2018 that their employers had a formal policy that didn't allow relationships between managers and direct reports. Universities and colleges are also taking steps to prohibit relationships between faculty and students or other similar situations. That's the case in Wisconsin. University of Wisconsin system has a formal policy aimed at ending conflicts of interest when UW employees, students, and affiliated individuals in positions of unequal power are involved in consensual, romantic, or sexual relationships. Policy notes that such relationships create an environment charged with potential or perceived conflicts of interest and possible use of academic or supervisory leverage to maintain or promote the relationship. Romantic or sexual relationships that the parties may view as consensual may still raise questions of favoritism as well as of an exploitative abuse of trust and power. If an employee in a supervisory position begins a consensual relationship with a subordinate, the supervisor is to report the situation to the department chair or hiring official. The supervisor then must cooperate in actions taken to eliminate any actual or potential conflicts of interest to mitigate adverse effects of the other employee. If an instructor or other employee fails to meet the requirements for disclosing the relationship with a student or other employee or fails to cooperate in the actions described, such failure constitutes a violation of policy and may result in disciplinary action against the employee. As mentioned, Curdy, both houses in the legislature have even stricter prohibitions on consensual relationships. Let's see. Employment attorneys say office relationships carry legal risks. No doubt, man. Not just legal, organizational.
Can I interrupt you? As much as I love you and occasionally find you sexually attractive, but here is something I want you to take note of. In the assembly, the policy, the Wisconsin State Assembly, the policy says sexual, romantic, or intimate relationships between supervisors and subordinates that appear to be consensual and welcome may still constitute sexual harassment. Well, I would point out the Speaker of the Assembly married one of his subordinates after they both divorced their respective spouses. And there are some allegations that that happened, that I wasn't there. I'm not in his bedroom with him and the missus, him and Michelle. But the allegations were, it was a hot romance at the Capitol, Dom, and he was the assembly speaker, and she was a serving state assembly person. He would have committee assignments, all sorts of different things he could affect her future.
I think that's kind of a reach, man. She's an elected official. He can't get her unelected. You know what I mean? Now, certainly he still has power in that regard of being
well,
the speaker.
That's not
a direct report. I don't think that's
so. You don't think the Speaker of the Assembly has any control over the individual members of their caucus? You don't think that's a supervisory circumstance?
No, I do not think it's a supervisory.
Why do they call him boss? No,
absolutely not. Not between, you're talking about supervisors and subordinates. These are two people both elected by their constituents to the assembly. One happens to be elected by the assembly to be the head of that assembly, but that doesn't
controls
make him
the finances, controls the flow of legislation, controls committee assignments, controls staff. But no, I can see where they would have no control over another member's outcomes.
I concur that there are some things that he could control, but she is still an elected official, man. He's not her supervisor. That is not a comparison. It is not a subordinate position.
Well, the great news is they found true love. Apparently, they married each other. So as Scott Walker would say, Molotov.
Nice. Just a little bit more than your calls, 844-967-2789. Employment attorneys said managers should be strongly discouraged from having a relationship with a subordinate because of the potential for sexual harassment claims or discrimination complaints. Pamela Plour, a lawyer with Stafford Rosenbaum firm in Milwaukee, said these relationships create the impression that workers won't land a plum assignment or receive a promotion unless they engage in a romantic relationship with the boss, and this can have a ripple effect throughout the workplace. The risk are compounded when a romantic relationship between a staffer and supervisor ends on bad terms. Oh, yeah. And it's probably most of them. More than half, certainly. As she writes, as Bice writes, she said half of marriages end in divorce, and the rate is even higher for workplace romances. When things go bad, you know, people don't always act their best. People get emotional, act out in the workplace. That's a recipe for some risk for an employer. These problems can occur in small or large employers. In the past, firms like McDonald's and CNN have ousted top officials over undisclosed office romances. Crudy, here in Milwaukee, former Mayor John Norquist, I didn't know this. I mean, I wasn't paying attention back then, was forced from office and settled a sexual harassment claim with a former employee for $375,000 in 2002. The staffer contended what began as a consensual sexual relationship turned into sexual harassment when she tried to break things off. See, this is the thing.
Gets a little messy, as Rojo would say.
Right. So I guess we get the gist of all of this.
A couple of people on the text line. Jeff, our crap talking lawyer buddy from Shorewood, says, not a good idea for someone in high places to be screwing a subordinate. Don't care if it was Wanker or Uncle Tony's. Here's another one. I guess this is some advice. I'm not quite sure. Well, Mark from the SAC did ask, didn't Voss find love at work? Technically. Here's another one. I see Crudy coming home to his wife playing this one out, Kurt. And then he sent me the song Love from Fiddler on the Roof. Do you love me? Do you love me? And then it kind of breaks in the song. It was an arranged marriage. Mine is a marriage of love.
Love. And finally, who is this?
What's not the love here?
Goodbaum. What did Goodbaum have to say? In concluding, if a manager came to me and said, hey, I'm really romantically interested in a subordinate of mine, I would say, then you need to decide whether you want to pursue this relationship or leave your job. And if you really, really have this firm conviction that this person who reports to you is your soulmate, then maybe you should think about trying to get that person out of your chain of command without doing anything negative to them. Trying to date someone who works for you is really awkward, really tough, fraught with risk, and most employers would not tolerate it.
Awkward way to say no to me, Dom. 844-967-2789. When I was a young man, many years ago, before I was married, in my 20s, if I didn't date in the workplace, I would have met any girls.
Well, you spent so much time there, right?
I was a slave to my job, man. I was trying to get ahead. I was trying to, you know, pay my dues out there in the world. And I had plenty of 70-hour weeks at work. I got to tell you, that office girl always looked pretty cute about 9 o'clock at night when you're trying to get that last report in. Hey, you want to go out for a drink later? Not saying it never happened.
Can't be with the one you love. Love the one you're with.
I didn't have anyone to love.
So love the one you're with.
There is something called the primacy effect, I believe it's called. Like, we love the ones we're closest to. Which is a little sad. I spend as much time with you as probably any other human being, excluding my wife. And I love you, man.
I love you too, man.
844-967-2789. Love you as well, especially you from Sun Prairie, Chris. Welcome to the show. What do you got for us?
Hey, Chris.
Hey. So I was just thinking, you know, you don't have to really be a subordinate of Voss's, you know, for him to affect you. I mean, look what he did to Doug LaFollette. You know, he moved him to like a basement room, right? Took all of his.
Gonna have to move you down to storage room B.
It was stapler. It was my stapler.
Yeah, and they took all of his duties away from him, and I mean, it was just terrible. With
sort of an abusive relationship.
very much so. Yeah. Yeah, but I kind of agree with Dom on this, though. I mean, I really think that this is kind of like, I don't know, this is what I understood in pretty much any place I worked, that, you know, you don't do this. You know, I don't know.
But I'm not sure if that's Dom's conclusion. Dom's conclusion is I did it, and I would be okay if other people around me did it because I love the love. Am I mischaracterizing Dom?
I mean, you know, I wouldn't suggest it, you know, being in the position. Oh. You know, I had people work for me, right? And my wife was also there. But I also had people within the office that were dating each other and, you know, sleeping around. I mean, there's all that kind of stuff going on. And just stepping back from it all, I just take the opinion that, you know, consenting adults knock yourself out. Yes, the whole workplace thing can get messy, but there's so much liability and downside. You know what I mean? So that's crap where you eat, Chris. I mean, that's just kind of what it comes down to with me.
Yeah, whatever those rules were you were reading, I'm not sure where they were from, but that's more what I would be familiar with, you know, and because the people I work for were really strict, and I think they should be sent to Governor Evers, because I really think that leaves a lot open in the place you work. I wouldn't want to work with people that were dating. I really wouldn't. That, I mean, it's just a whole can.
Oh, you're spoopy. No, you're spoopy.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Well, that's my 2 cents anyhow.
All right, Chris. Well, we appreciate your 2 cents. Tony Evers says it's none of your GD business, though. 844-967-2789. I mean, it's all good until it's not. You know what I mean? Mark from the SAC, you're up. Welcome. What do you got for us?
How you doing, Mark?
I'm doing okay, yeah. And I was actually a union steward, and that could actually cause problems in the office. There's some, you know, that it can really lead to problems, if it, you know, that all over the place. But, you know, that you were all consenting adults and all
but
that.
But the heart wants what the heart wants, Mark.
Heart wants what the heart wants. And all I'm saying is it can lead to complications because things can get messy, you know. That
but love is messy. It's always worth chasing your heart, isn't it, Mark?
Yeah, is it? I'm not
or
sure
some
it
other
is.
Appendage?
No. Sometimes, Mark, it's not worth pursuing, dude.
Right, and that's, you know, that's part of the problem there. And let's, you know, face the fact that, you know, that, you know, Robin Voss found love in the office, apparently. And apparently it was before he was actually divorced from... You know, fourth time's a charm for Robin Voss, I guess, but at least up to this point. But he's not the only one that was having relationships with subordinates in his office, because I knew some of the staff members of some of the Democratic legislatures over there. I'd go over there and talk to them, and they'd fill me in on some of the shenanigans that were going on in some of
the office gossip, man, sitting around the water cooler, who's sleeping with who. I mean, you got to have something to talk about. I mean, how does any governing get done?
Come back with us. This is from, what, Fiddler on the Roof? This one's for you, Kurt. Or maybe Mrs. Crudy. I'll sing it to her later. Come back with us. I love you, audience, at 844-967-2789. But do you love The Devil's Advocates? Do you love a spam?
UPS Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Quiet for the overnight with mostly clear skies at 58 degrees. Southeast winds on the light side. Sunshine, upper 80s Friday. This weekend, look for a warm-up. Lower 90s for Saturday. Heading closer to the Labor Day holiday, temperatures into the upper 90s. It's 60 at our studios.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
I don't know if you know the Devil's Advocates, but the show is kind of a big deal.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Love it when you call 844-967-2789.
You just love the love, Dom.
I do love the love, man.
Cameron from
Love Machine.
Cameron from Nina. Welcome, sir. Hey, what do you got for us? You're a love guy, a young guy, maybe a love guy. Who knows? Cameron, you have this problem in your life? You ever look around the workplace, see a pretty face?
There was one time. I don't even want to fully say where this happened, but. There was one time where someone that I had liked, I didn't disclose it to them because I was too shy, but then they came forward and were like, yeah, I like your relative a lot. And they were an older relative too. So it's like, oh, okay. But I think in the grand scheme of things, we are forgetting that we have precedent here for this. We're forgetting the great man himself, Bill Clinton.
Oh, the whole Monica Lewinsky thing. But that was unequal. That was desperately unequal, seemingly.
Well, unequal is unequal. I mean, it's a matter of degree, but that's whole point. Yeah.
But we forgave that, didn't we, Cameron? At least most Democrats really. Forgave Slick Willie.
I don't think we did. He only got in trouble because his lawyers told him, or his attorneys told him to what was it? Sexual relations didn't include fellatio. So he thought that he was telling the truth, even though it's disingenuous, whatever the word is. But yeah.
Well, regardless of what the extent of the sexual contact was, you know, it doesn't matter. Yeah. I mean, once you cross the line, you're in that position. And certainly as the president versus, I don't even know what her role was at the time. Was she an intern? I mean, what was
Monica Lewinsky? Yes, yeah. A White House intern. Oh. But I've Cameron, thank you for your contribution. But I've seen it portrayed differently. I mean, the president of the United States, a very busy man, and he's feeling it. He comes looking out. Who's around? You know, like because it is that proximity thing. It's the people around you. There's attraction for those you spend time with.
I mean, there's attraction for what's easy and who will say yes. I mean, and when you're able to leverage,
you and Joe had quite low standards in college.
An intern, man. I mean, that's not, I mean, we're talking about, you know, with this Maggie Gowan.
He's being time efficient. He doesn't have time to go out to the clubs and meet women. He can't go dance to a little brick house.
I mean, he was married, right? He could have gone home to his wife or something, right? I mean, there are options, man. You know what I mean? One of those options would be not to leverage your power, especially as the president of the United States, to take advantage of an intern. I'm just saying, man.
No doubt. No. Seems bad in retrospect.
When you put it like that. No, you know, generally speaking, again, you know, consenting adults, baby, go out and get your freak flag out and do what you can to get you through the night. You know what I'm saying? I'm totally down with that.
Through the night.
Like when you bring it to that power dynamic and insert it into a workplace, Again, it gets really hairy, especially when people start getting sued for sexual harassment for millions of dollars.
You know, I just watched the Me Too movie about the Harvey Weinstein.
Oh, gross.
And at least 82 accused, Harvey Weinstein, 82 accusers came forward. So there were probably more, but 82 came forward to accuse him after the first article dropped. It was strange, you know, and Harvey was fighting it right to the last. Very powerful man. Had the ability to kill careers, even of journalists. You know, so if you write about me, you better be right. You better kill the king, because I will kill your career. And he did so often.
Well, as evidenced by, you know, this newspaper in Wisconsin here, Crudy, you could presumably be right and still get crushed. Because people play that, you know, they'll bleed you out game like Trump. If you got the resources and you're up against someone, even if they're right and you're wrong and you can just stick it to them and bleed them dry, well, that'll happen.
Dom, let's end this hour an editorial at the Cap Times. Legislators should rebuke Tomachek's assault on freedom of the press. Let's read some of this. The U.S. Supreme Court, with its landmark ruling in the 1964 New York Times versus Sullivan case, establish clear protections for media outlets that are targeted by politicians who want to prevent free press from holding them to account. The court set a high bar for defamation and libel lawsuits, requiring proof of actual malice, and recognized in a historic opinion by Justice William Brennan that the United States has and must maintain, and here's from the ruling, Dom, a profound national commitment to the principle that debate on public issues should be uninhibited, always around here, robust, check, and wide open. Oh, check, check, check. And that it may well include vehement, caustic, and sometimes unpleasantly sharp attacks on government and public officials. Brennan cited one of his predecessors, Louis Brandeis, who explained, "Those who won our independence believe the public discussion is a political duty and that this should be a fundamental principle of the American government. They recognize the risk to which all human institutions are subject, but they knew that order cannot be secured merely through the fear of punishment for its infraction, that it is hazardous to discourage thought, hope, and imagination, that fear breeds repression, that repression breeds hate, that hate menaces stable government, that the path of safety lies in the opportunity to discuss freely supposed grievances and proposed remedies, and that fitting remedy for evil counsels is good ones. Believing in the power of reason as applied through public discussion, they eschewed silence coerced by law, the argument of force in its worst form. Recognizing the occasional tyrannies of governing majorities, they amended the Constitution so that free speech and assembly should be guaranteed." Dom, so vital to democracy was an unfettered free press that the court determined that even in cases where statements might be defamatory or inaccurate, an elected official would have to prove that reporters and editors deliberately set out to produce a false impression, thus displaying actual malice.
I'm going to get short on time here. The Wausau Pilot and Review, a scrappy nonprofit news site that does a good job of covering Wausau and the surrounding communities in Marathon County, reported in 21 that Wisconsin Republican politician Tomczyk used an anti-gay slur against a 13-year-old boy who testified during a county board meeting during which the board was considering diversity and inclusion measures. The AP noted the widely circulated review of the legal wrangling in north central Wisconsin. Tomczyk denied using the slur and sued the newspaper for defamation. In the course of the lawsuit, three people who were present at the meeting swore they heard him use the word in a deposition. He admitted having used the word on other occasions, the New York Times reported. A judge ultimately dismissed the case in April, saying Tomczyk had not proven the paper defamed him. Yet he's still pressing the case, launching an appeal that could bankrupt the Pilot and Review, which has already spent roughly $200,000 to defend itself.
Free speech ain't free if you can be sued out of existence. Come back. More Devil's Advocates. Don't sue us. Just listen.
When you think about early labor unions, do you think of Wisconsin? You should. The state's first labor union formed in Milwaukee in 1847 when the bricklayers organized, then the Carpenters Union in 1848. The National Labor Union didn't even form until 1866. A State Historical Society report shows Wisconsin's union members also pushed for workers' compensation and unemployment insurance legislation, becoming a model for other states. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr.
The Todd Alba Show.
I see the silhouette of Todd Alba, who still hasn't figured out that maybe a TV person could help, you know, set this whole thing up.
For whatever reason, yeah. StreamYard's video is just deciding that the room is too bright.
When has Todd Alba been accused of being too bright? I mean, really there? I'm like, where's Aaron with the rim shot?
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is